The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. When we were talking about that final play, Stan, you mentioned Ish Masood. Surprised he entered the transfer portal? What was your reaction to that?
You're always surprised. Not that there is transfer portal movement by anybody, but just when you have a specific name. Now, part of the surprise is I didn't think Ish had eligibility left. I just hadn't tracked it that closely. So the fact that he can play another year of basketball was the first bit of surprise, and then he moved on. But, you know, there could be a lot of reasons. I don't think that any of them have to do with creating a seed of negativity. The thing I think about Jerome Tang is I think he's going to be very truthful with all of his guys. And he probably talked about with Ish, you know, this will be your role next year. And, you know, maybe Ish wants to have a bigger role, a different role. K-State's team's going to be different. They're going to have some guys coming in who can play interior defense and strength, and you know Ish played to five at times and got some playing time at the end by being a fifth guy who could shoot and play great offense but got by playing defense. And you know, next year they may not need him to, he may not earn that playing time. His playing time actually might have been squeezed to say you're going to fit a smaller role, and that may have been a surprise to him. I'm not saying that's what happened at all, but or he may have just said I want another chance to go back toward the East Coast. I did great things at K-State. Maybe he wants to go to a different school and have a different academic program. I really don't know, but I just don't think of even 1% chance there's any negativity between Jerome Tang, Ish Masood, K-State, and all those things.
It's going to be fascinating to see what all these three local teams look like next year. You know, I mean, it sounds like it keeps being said, but it is a different world that we're going into now where it's like you used to hear about, I mean, I guess Bill Self's been doing it to a certain extent where, like, they go win the national championship and then he's got to replace, like, six guys that are going pro. And somehow he would do it. But now it's like everybody's got to replace, like, six guys because everybody's either graduating or transferring and you got to reassemble your entire team in the span of one offseason. K-State's got to do it. KU's got to. They got an overhaul coming their way. You're talking about whether Kobe comes back or not, but there's going to be a lot of change. It's just going to be, I don't know, it's going to be fascinating to see. It's like they're putting a brand new roster together in the offseason.
Yeah, I think Stephen, if I remember hearing you correctly, Stephen, I put it very well. The ability to track basketball is getting more like other sports, that there can be a lot of movement, but also that your team can pop and be really good right away next year.
It's exciting for fans.
Yeah, that's what the old school people are going, oh, this is awful. Right. And then some people would say, hey, I can't keep track of the roster very well. You know, baseball got into that with free agency because baseball was the greatest game in sports. It was bigger than football. But most of the people in the country could name the batting order of the teams and the positions of the players for the Yankees, for the Red Sox. You know, it didn't matter if you lived in Kansas City, you would know the roster of the Dodgers and who hit where. And there was that stability, and there's some joy in that. And for those that think there's value in that, you're going, ah, man, I got to learn about each team each year. But I think the overwhelming thing, Stephen, is the approach you've taken on this. It's fun to track. The possibilities are endless. Don't take anything for granted. And how exciting might we be next year? Why can't we be in the Final Four? In the Final Four even next year?
I'm going to be interested to see if there's more volatility. You know, like K-State went from worst to first, not worst to first, but
worst to third,
and could they drop back down? Will they stay the same? And I feel like as an administrator, you probably got to be a little bit more patient because one year you might just crush it with three transfers. Like, could you get a better transfer than Keontae Johnson this year? He had to have been you just couldn't, you know, but maybe the next one they get on paper looks great, but he doesn't pan out for whatever reason, and then you don't have as good of a year. Do you have to be patient? And I think administrators might have to be a little patient. Like, okay, you don't get to expect your team to finish in the top three in the Big 12 every single year. Or maybe you do. We'll see. Maybe he does it. But like even
fans can think they're going to do it every year. Yeah.
But everybody's got the ability to go get a bunch of transfers and turn their season around like that.
It sucks for some of these smaller schools that have success in the NCAA tournament. But the NCAA tournament becomes a showcase for players and these teams that have these runs, like, for instance, Princeton. We saw what they did to Mizzou. And then Ryan Langborg, one of their best players, as soon as the season's over, immediately jumps into the transfer portal. And you're like, oh, yeah, that guy was hitting all those threes. I'd like to.
From Princeton, right, even.
I'll take him. He will be academically eligible, I will predict. But someone made this point. So we were talking about when Jerome Tang paid a visit to the FAU locker room after the game, right? And I don't know if you know this, but Kentucky fans are still mad at K-State. So there's a bunch of Kentucky fans on Twitter, you know, criticizing that move, right? But then we've beaten
Kentucky every time we've played them since 2018, Steve.
That sounds Kentucky. And so, but someone did make an interesting point, like, hey, like, you know, he's a class act, and but that's also kind of a unofficial recruiting visit, like, yeah. Everybody, you know, right? Because guess what? One of those FAU guys is going to go. That's just what happens.
Well, there's no doubt
all
because
these teams.
One of the things that's been good about this is you've been able to play through the lower levels up to the higher levels, kind of minor leagues to the major leagues, right? I mean, guys who are awesome players at the non-Power 5 deserve the opportunity to step it on up. It's crazy, and I know about loyalty and all these things. It just gets so complicated, but I've got to admit, before, when I spoke to you guys on Friday, before K-State played against FAU, I respected them as an opponent that's going to be very hard to beat. In fact, I was kind of rooting for Tennessee to win, and just, you guys don't score the ball very well. You don't run very fast. This will be a good matchup for K-State. But I definitely was not rooting for the so-called underdog, because I've made that mistake. Mm-hmm. Okay, I rooted for Loyola Chicago. I was excited when Butler won out in Salt Lake City. Hey, Butler won! K-State's chances of going to the Final Four just went up. Oh, wait a second. We didn't know how great they were. So I didn't get caught up in that at all. But even though I respected FAU, there was a level of thought or disrespect in this. I literally said, Elijah Martin would be perfect for K-State. He's a sophomore. Desi Sills is leaving K-State, you know, right? And I go, man, Elijah Martin would be perfect. And now I know, how about Brian Greeley? You know, he's a junior, going to be a senior next year. This guy's got some game, man. And you start thinking about, literally, FAU to K-State. I was thinking about that before after the game. But before the game, Elijah Martin, he stuck out against Tennessee. I mean, I had down in my notes, unbelievable athlete, could play any sport, awesome, incredible, winner. And I just said, gosh, he'd be great playing for K-State next year. So those kind of thoughts were in my mind, even. And hey, FAU, that may be the place to go now, maybe a basketball power, but still, the likelihood is, wouldn't you want to play in Bramlage Coliseum rather than at FAU? It's a possibility. So this transfer portal changes all the variables.
But it also goes the other way. I think if you're a coach at FAU or even a smaller school, we talked about Ish Masu.
Yeah, Ish may want to play for Florida Atlantic and fill in a gap that they need.
Yeah, because there's a guy that's at Kansas right now that can't get on the court, that got recruited over, who's got the chance to be a 15-point-per-game, 20-point-per-game guy that might end up going down to a smaller school because that coach could be like, hey, you get the rock. Like, you're going to be our guy. We're going to build around you. So, and then you might get a guy that's actually got a little experience that can do some things. So, because that's one of the things we're seeing is, you know, I mean, like, Kansas had a whole bunch of guys hit the transfer portal because they're not going to get the playing time at Kansas.
There's the words.
You know?
See, I think this is, in my opinion, I don't know what you guys think, but a lot of people are worried about NIL, and you've got to respect it. You've got to find donors and businesses who want to pay the players money. I get that, and that emphasis is fine with me. But at the end of the day, I'm not worried about NIL re-describing what basketball or football is like at the college level, because I think playing time is the one thing that will draw everybody to where they need to be. So people are going to up, down, over, sideways, but really what they want. It sounds crazy because wouldn't a college kid want $50,000? That's got to be everything. No, that kid wants to be valued and get playing time. That is what I think. Those words you just said, you guys may disagree with me, but I think that's going to allow things to settle, and the NIL is not going to be the biggest story 10 years from now.
I think the best – I think there's a real – we've talked about this. I think there's a real benefit to NIL for college basketball from the standpoint that somebody like Kobe Brown –
that's the perfect example, because if not for NIL, I don't – you know, he's getting – I've seen a couple of mock drafts where he's picked towards the end of the second round, and he'd go. But NIL makes it a real decision to where right now it appears he's leaning towards seeing a Mizzou. So that's, I think that's where it makes an impact for a guy like that.
Jalen Wilson. Yeah. Oscar Tshiebwe stayed a year because he doesn't have really the NBA type of game. But at Kentucky, he could make a ton of money, more than he made as a rookie probably.
Yeah. You look at, like, if you're Jalen Wilson and last year could have gone pro and probably would have been on a two-way contract where he spent most of the year in some G League town, not making great money and not having the kind of travel benefits and all the things you get by being a star at Kansas. He makes seven figures at Kansas now. And
thanks to Nate's contributions.
You know, yeah, I mean, I'm getting into my deep pockets. But, I mean, I think Adidas is, you know, legally kicking money in, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, and I think that's a good thing. Like, hey, because, by the way, is Jalen Wilson not worth $1 million to the University of Kansas? I mean, is what's Kobe Brown worth to the University of Missouri? You know, so if and it's not just him. I mean, if the sponsors want to spend some money, so you get to keep great talent, watch it develop, and they get to make good money and live a cush lifestyle compared to playing in the G League or something. It's a no-brainer. So it's actually a good thing for college basketball.
Give money to their family, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's guys that you know, and even, I think about it this way, too. DeJuan Harris, he's never going to play in the NBA, I don't think. But he's making enough money, grew up with absolutely nothing, and can help his family out while he's playing great basketball at a very high level. You know, I don't know. I don't think that's such a bad thing.
Well, just think about the old school people that are wanting to tap the brakes or unhappy with some of this. The way this spins around, it actually comes back to make their world a little bit more enjoyable too, because the example you gave, like Jalen Wilson, he could have made as much money maybe living his life and moving on to the pros and the things that he would have went through. But the old school person who wanted academics to matter, guess what? Jalen Wilson got a whole nother year, two more semesters of academics.
Yep.
So even those people need to think about this. This is actually working to keep kids in college a little bit longer who don't need to be G Leaguers.
Right.
Some of them don't make, even in our two-way, they don't go up to the NBA team. They're just G League or overseas.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird how this is working out. Kids are staying in college longer, and guess what? It helps them. The academic side does matter. I'm old school on that. I mean, just getting an education for these kids is unbelievable. And to say they weren't getting anything is crazy.
Yeah.
But if you had to be one and done or two and out of here, it's great that you get to stay an extra year and finish your academic program.
And all the schools have to figure out, like, you know, does every guy get the same amount of money? Do certain guys get more? All those things. And I assume that over time, hopefully, that sorts itself out. You can play the soccer alarm for me now, Marco, but this is something that I looked up. You know, the average salary of a professional soccer player in the second division in England, like the second tier, you got the Premier League and then the division right below it, is like £1.5 million per year. That's in the second tier. You know, like what the equivalent of like AAA baseball would be in the United States. Because the truth is, those guys are really stinking good and their fans care a lot. Marquise Noel is worth the price of admission. He might not ever play in the NBA. That man is worth paying good money to watch. And we just kind of built this system in the United States where if you're not playing in the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA, somehow you shouldn't make decent money at it, and people don't. We don't get as excited about it, but that's what college sports has always been. People pay good money to watch college athletics. People line up to watch it on TV. The NCAA makes billion-dollar contract deals because Marquise Noel is a joy to watch play basketball. Jacob Pullen was incredibly entertaining to watch. He's making money playing the sport elsewhere. So to me, like, it actually makes sense. You know, why shouldn't Marquise Noel be making some money to do what he just did for Kansas State on the biggest stage in Madison Square Garden, by the way, against some great players. Yeah, he might not be an NBA star, but he's still an incredibly good basketball player and incredibly entertaining to watch. There's enough good basketball players out there that D1 college basketball is actually high level.
Well, he had 30 points and 12 assists. Never before this season has a K-State basketball player had 30 or more points and 10 or more assists in a game until Marquise Noel. He did it twice.
What he did in that week, I mean, to me, like, that's the most heartbreaking part. I know for Kansas State fans, it's that Kansas State didn't make it. But, like, to me, as an outsider watching it, that dude belonged in the Final Four.
That would have helped the hype that Steven was talking about with the four teams.
Oh, man. I mean, everybody was falling in. How do you not fall in love with the 5'8 guy that's putting a team on his back, especially when his best teammate is not playing in the game because he's in foul trouble, and he still almost put the team on his back and did it. And it's I think K-State fans will always remember the tournament that he had. But imagine how much more everybody remembers it if he goes to the Final Four, you know. And I hope that every K-State fan will always appreciate, and they probably will, what he did, because that was literally one of the. I mean, Mike DeCourcy said it to us. He would have voted him most outstanding player of the tournament, not just that region, the tournament, like he wanted to do for Steph Curry. When Steph Curry's team lost to Kansas in the Elite Eight, but they told him you're not allowed to.
Marquise was voted the most valuable player in the East region.
Yeah.
When the vote came down. It's amazing K-State had one consistency, because Deuce Vaughn is what, the smallest player to be through the draft combine?
Marquise Noel could post him up.
And those two guys, Marquise was out on the Catbacker Trail, and once in a while people would come up and say, hey, Deuce, can I get your autograph? Well, now they're not going to be saying that. He's going to be
taller?
Deuce Vaughn's listed at 5'5".
Yeah,
I don't know if that's
the basketball player's got to be taller. Yeah. It's true in this case. But I think, Nate, there's always something new you learn. There's new ideas that pop up. The idea that American players getting NIL money should be paid in pounds is something I've never heard before.
Euros, whatever you want. You know, they could just Bitcoin.
Oh, he's listed at 5'6". Give him his credit.
I saw him at 5'5" somewhere.
He always wants to
make the draft combine.
So he can be tall.
He's got the official size now at the draft combine.
Shoes.
You can look it up.
Do shoes.
The basketball players always wear shoes.
Yeah.
The video
when they get
that
measured,
they
never take their shoes off.
Some wedges on.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So Stan, the easy pick, I think, for people is UConn, because they've been so impressive throughout this tournament. But any gut feeling on who's going to win Saturday and who ends up winning the national championship?
Well, we're looking for intrigue past that anybody can make it, and maybe this opens up everybody's dream of making the Final Four. I think the intrigue is, because we have the local KU factor here, every KU fan's got to be rooting against UConn. You do not need them to notch another championship. So
that's
my storyline is UConn going to win this thing and actually get national championship? Because that otherwise, San Diego State wins or FAU, you're going to think it's cute either way, right?
How did you guess our next topic?
I don't know if I don't know.
Okay,
if you,
I don't know. I didn't know.
I don't know if you expected me to. No, I don't feel that way. I'm not. You're absolutely right. I do not want Connecticut.
Well, it's the only storyline. Right. Anybody but UConn
anybody
is what you're thinking.
UConn,
doesn't matter
if
it happens on Saturday or Monday.
Yeah,
anybody but.
Yes, yes.
So I do think that Miami's dangerous. Think about the coach.
Nigel
he had
Pack,
George
too.
Mason.
Yeah.
Right? And they had the ACC Player of the Year. They're the only Power 5 conference there. And Nigel Pack's not their best guard. I mean, when he's your second best guy, and what did he do when he went 7-for-10 in the regional semifinal game in the big upset? I mean, he can just go off snap of the fingers, and I've seen him do that. So I think Miami is my second most likely team to win. Right now you go with UConn because they've been able to win championships one way or another over the years, and they played so great in this tournament, right? They just really played great basketball. So I guess I give UConn a slight advantage, but it's definitely open. I think FAU plays high level. San Diego State has their own way of mucking up games and finding a way to win. But I think Miami could be very dangerous. Right when you think, oh, UConn's got this. What if UConn goes, you know, Miami's a dangerous team because they've got a lot of answers. The fact that they came back against Texas here at T-Mobile, where Texas kind of got comfortable, right? They beat KU in a championship game at T-Mobile in the Big 12. They came back, looked good. They had that game by 10 points the whole way. It was almost like, I don't know if I need to watch the last 10 minutes. And Miami won, notably coming back and fighting through things on a day that wasn't their day, but they did it without hitting the three ball. I mean, for them to have the discipline that we're going to go inside against Texas and not to shoot the three, not shoot the three-pointer almost defies odds, and it worked. So I believe that they have a philosophy, a belief, and an ability to execute both shooting two balls and the three-point shot. So, yeah, I think Miami's very dangerous.
Okay.
This look on your face.
No, but this guy's been all over the map. Now, finally, he's digging into what I want him to be on Friday. A bitter Kansas fan that doesn't want UConn to win. That's what I want out of you, because it's true.
Did I blow the headline there?
That's
sorry.
Fine. No, it's
I mean,
fine.
I you got to give me a credit. I could have. Oh, no, I don't feel that way.
Because early on, I asked him about this.
I want to be in Toronto and doing soccer. Right, I don't know. I don't have time for this.
Is UConn a blue blood? And he was bit, no. I mean, you know, just
it was that, an easy
that's
no.
The way you
an
were,
easy no. For
no,
that.
No. The way the conversation, he asked me, why isn't Connecticut being considered a blue blood like all the other
because
schools?
Kansas,
and I gave a pretty good reason.
Yeah, right. Like, so we asked.
But
Greg
how does
Gurley.
It change if they win on Monday?
We asked Greg Gurley, and he said no. And everyone says no.
Yeah.
And I asked him why, and he said they're not consistent enough. They disappeared for 5 years. They're not. You know, they're not competing for a championship every year. And so then I asked a simple question of Nate, and this is what really I thought was interesting. I said, if they win Saturday and Monday, that's 5 national championships in 24 years. The only two schools that have won that many titles in a 25-year span are UCLA and Duke. No one else has had that many in 25 years. In 24. And so I asked him, if they win number 5 on Monday night, would you rather have had the last 24 years as a Kansas fan and all these conference titles, but 2 national championships, or would you have rather been a UConn fan, missed some tournaments sometimes, this and that, but have 5 national championships? And he didn't hesitate. He said, Kansas. KU, baby.
What would you say, Stephen?
I would lean towards championships. So I think that's what you remember most. And I get to say, look, I would lean towards anything as a Mizzou fan. I'd like one conference title before I die, but that's fine. So I'm
or one Final Four.
Give me anything. But I'm influenced by my experience as a Chiefs fan, and the Chiefs were one of the winningest franchises in the 90s. And every year they were a competitor and competing for a title. And every year they pretty much they went to the playoffs. And then every year they would flame out. And they didn't have any championships out of it. And that's what, sorry, but that's for the most part, that's what people remember. Lynn Elliott and the loss of the Broncos. And why couldn't Marty win the big one? And that sucks because it was a great experience to go through those years as a Chiefs fan. But ultimately, championships are what you're remembered for. And if you tell me, like,
It's not like
3 versus it's 5. That's a lot.
If they win.
That would be 5.
If they win, will Kansas let them into discussion?
No.
You know, that's the question. But I
Anthony Sherman, a former UConn football player, sat right there yesterday, and Nate said, you can't come into this club. You're not invited in this blue blood club, club.
I just think Kansas fans, are convicted that they don't want to ask that question on Tuesday. I'll say that. It creates a little excitement locally here.
He wants Miami to win so much.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You at least it brings out the energy. You need UConn to lose.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back. How many times has the Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl? Is it just 2?
I believe it's 2.
It's only 2? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because if Stephen, if you go back before the Chiefs won this year, would you rather be a Ravens fan for the last 25 years or a Chiefs fan? Because the Chiefs only won one Super Bowl. The Ravens popped a couple of times, but they didn't win the division six, seven times in a row like the Chiefs did. They have not been as fun to be a part of in a regular season in the playoffs as the Chiefs. Would you rather have had those championships pop? Because I would say, my opinion is I'd much rather be Kansas than UConn. If you win at least two and you're elite every game of every year and winning championships in your conference, to me, that is a way better position to be in than UConn once in a while winning, even if they win five. I would still rather be the Kansas fan. And I'd much rather be the Chiefs fan than the Ravens fan, because I do value conference championships, division championships, competition to be there and be excellent and be right on the verge of winning Super Bowls or NCAA championships and being disappointed rather than being the one team that kind of maneuvered their way through. Championships matter. And if the Chiefs didn't have at least one, I would pick the Ravens. But when the Chiefs won at least one, I'd rather have the Chiefs one than the Ravens two. And I'd rather have KU's two than UConn's four. Does that make sense?
But I think
they ought to be left in the room if they win the fifth. I mean,
if it was like Ravens five and Chiefs two, you might give me something to think about. You know?
I don't know.
I'd at least think about it. But the bigger question is UConn a basketball blue blood? Because the gatekeeper won't let him in over here.
Well, I'll go with the experts who study this, and they said no. But if they win on Monday, can't you reevaluate? I mean, a championship's worth a lot. When Bill Self won his second one, what kind of move? When Andy Reid won his second Super Bowl, how much bigger is that? So I don't get to talk to you on Tuesday. I have to wait till next Friday. Okay, so I'm going to say if they win their fifth one, I don't know why Kansas can't let them in the conversation.
Let them in.
So a couple things. I do think that is where I come down. That is different about like our viewpoint on the Chiefs from the 90s is if the Chiefs had found a way to win one, we wouldn't look at that era with the same type of disappointment. The fact that Bill Self has won two, and I actually think the second one makes a big difference because you backed it up. You know, he won another one.
It's like the Chiefs.
Yeah, it makes it. Yeah, and that makes it a lot easier for me to very comfortably say I would take what Kansas has had, because I don't ever want to take for granted the idea that Kansas is going to go to the NCAA tournament every year. And because that is kind of just taken for granted, and it shouldn't be, because North Carolina didn't make the tournament this year. So and winning conference titles, I agree. Trophies matter. I think all trophies matter. You win something, you have a trophy to put in your cabinet.
Wait a second. Can you sound that soccer alarm? Because I'm starting to move towards Steven now. All this trophies matter sounds like a bunch of soccer tournaments, and I have trouble with that.
Well,
this regular season tournament over here and that. So yeah, I know I'm messing with you. I apologize for that.
Nate's
face is not happy. Nate's not happy with me right now.
If K-State won the Big 12 tournament, would it matter in basketball?
It would have been. Yeah, it'd be good. Yes, but
it doesn't matter as much. I'm just joking with you
because you look like you're giving us some more pounds and soccer right there. I was agreeing. I actually was agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I think
they matter at different levels.
I think regular season and tournament, Big 12 championships really matter.
The Maui
just
Invitational
blow that off and go that.
Doesn't
who cares
matter
if
that
KU
much.
Didn't win?
Yeah.
Oh, it makes. Hey, Steven, it's a big deal that K-State won the Big 12 championship in football this year.
Sure, yeah. It is
a big deal, and if they won
be.
Three,
and it should be.
And we haven't won any national championships. We haven't played any national championship games in football. It's a big deal. So I was agreeing with you, but it just sounded a little bit too much like soccer stuff in there.
I struggle with that with soccer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, it's MLS Cup, but it's the U.S. Open Cup. But this,
we won the Maui Classic, and we won the CBE.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Those trophies, there's like levels to it. You know, those. It's like, hey, that's fun. We got the surfboard from the Maui Invitational, and that's nice to have, but no one really is going to remember it too much. But the Big 12 tournament is another tournament, and that's a trophy that depending on who you are, it matters a lot. But here's my honest answer about Connecticut.
I think they
are a blue blood.
Wow.
And part of the reason
KU people?
And part of the reason I think they are a blue blood, and this might rough
Marco just about fell over back there, by the way.
I'm so confused.
I think they are a blue blood in large part because of their women's basketball history.
He's been all over the map this week, so I'm glad you're finally settling in here.
I think it's a decent debate, and I'm giving you the reasons why you could. You've asked me, like, why don't people consider them a blue blood? And I do think they aren't consistent as they should be. It's a weird thing that they've won four national titles, honestly, because a lot of times you're like, wait, where did they come from? You know, and they're a four seed this year. But, like, gosh, when they won it last time, I think they were a seven seed, something like that. So you're like, okay, is it just that they caught a couple of hot streaks, or do they have something magical? And it's different coaches, too. If it was the same coach every time.
Three different coaches.
You'd be like, well, this one guy, he's a great tournament coach. He's not a great regular season coach, but his style works in the tournament. But it's three different coaches now. So it feels a little random, honestly, like the fact that they've won these national titles.
Wow.
Because they've had years that they didn't
now,
make.
Now that's dismissive of.
Well, but.
It could be five
their
national
Their last coach that won
they
the national
light,
title.
They're a light blue blood. Well, not a dark blue blood.
Yes. There you go. That's a great
something.
Way to put it.
You're over there making all kinds of.
Am I wrong about that? Like, what has Kevin Ollie done? It's like, do you look at him and go, man, tell you what, national title winning coach, that guy.
It's not about the coach, it's about the program.
But doesn't it feel a little random that that team won a national title and then just disappeared for a while?
Yeah, maybe
but
that
you can
team.
Say that about Kentucky, too. They're in the NIT one year.
I don't think there's anything random about Jim Calhoun's UConn teams.
No.
They were fabulous.
No.
I don't think
no.
there's anything random, but this team
they
is incredible.
Good. So
then maybe that one.
You need
but
them
like,
to lose badly so you can get back on.
They
aren't part of the blue.
But I think their women's basketball history puts them in the blue blood category. And I know they're two different things, but it's basketball, and I think it they have a history. To me, like, what is blue blood? If the first word I would use if you ask me about blue blood is history. What is their tradition?
Right.
What are they known for? And they have it. You know, in basketball in general, you think of Connecticut and you think there's national titles on both sides. I would say they are a blue blood.
I have more trouble thinking of Indiana as a blue blood because every one of these blue blood schools are colors blue.
Right.
UCLA,
that's
Kentucky,
exactly right.
Kansas. I thought maybe it was just the color of the school.
Yeah,
bye, Indiana.
Maybe that's why they haven't been any good for a while.
Indiana's
a good question.
Marco's
like,
standing up, falling over in his chair, making faces.
Like, how long can you hold on to the blue blood title and not be competitive for national championships? Like Indiana, like how long do they get to keep that? Is it just forever? Is it like a tattoo?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question.
It's old school, man.
Can they play their way out of this thing or what?
I think UConn just took their spot.
Yeah.
If there's only so many in the club.
Or is it just number of championships? You have to get to a certain number of championships, and you're a blue blood.
Well, that can't be right, because Kansas has, what, four?
Depending on how you count them.
Here we go. There it is. Here we go.
NCAA tournament championships.
Yeah.
You just don't want this talked about anymore, and you want any of those other three teams to win instead of UConn.
Well, that's definitely true. I definitely don't want Connecticut to win another one.
I just like
but
the headline.
But I do think they're a light blue blood. I think that's the right way to put it. Stan nailed it. That's perfect. They're a light blue blood.
Powder blue blood.
Yeah.
Carolina blue.
That.
Hey, I love the powder blues of the Royals yesterday.
Look great.
Wearing the all powder blue jersey and pants is different than wearing just the jersey.
Yep.
So I did like that. But it felt like we're talking about soccer too much because when the Royals didn't score, it's weird when you have a game and you go, we still haven't scored.
Yep.
That happens
sometimes
in soccer.
It was like, this is great.
Do you want to know something, Stan? This is going to make Stan just make his day.
Good.
Tony Miola and I, the last three games we have called, two on Fox and one on Apple, three straight scoreless draws.
You have not called a game in your new job? You have not called a goal?
I have had two games where I've had goals, but the last three games I've done,
really?
There's not been a single goal.
Goal!
It's been a nightmare. We just, like, at the end of each game, we're like, oh, my God, what did we just do?
But that's what you like.
You're Al Michaels now.
No, I don't like scoreless draws, Stephen. Actually, I don't.
I don't believe you.
That's not my favorite type of game.
How many goals has Sporting scored this year?
Two.
And how many matches?
Five?
Ooh.
Yeah.
No.
It's been a struggle for them.
Marco found this. Marco, finally, you're going to speak. What are you going to say? Please say it. You were very angry with Nate earlier.
Yeah.
You're saying the men's basketball program at UConn is a blue blood because of how successful the women's program has been?
I'm saying the basketball program as a whole there is enhanced by the fact that they have history on both sides.
A blue blood is defined by both programs then, is what you're saying.
I think it can be.
All right.
I don't think it has to be. Mm-hmm.
All right. No, I was just wondering for some clarification.
Don't mix the two together.
Stan says no.
Okay. No chance.
Yeah, I just...
Don't talk to me about women's basketball. We're talking about this important subject.
Okay.
No, what I'm saying is you can't call the UConn men's basketball program a blue blood based on what the women's program has done. Or I guess you could say if you're using that definition of a blue blood, that it's just one program, not both.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's defined by the women's basketball program. I'm saying it's enhanced by it. I just think it adds to the whole mystique of the school.
But here's the thing. UConn's women's program would be considered a blue blood.
It's definitely a blue blood in women's basketball, for sure.
So
maybe
the men's program.
Maybe they want to stand alone.
That's fine. I think that, I mean, look.
Do you count them as a blue blood, forgetting the women's program just for a second? The men on their own, are they a light blue blood if they win the fifth one, or are they already there with number four?
I think four is a lot. I think four is a lot already. I don't think they need to get to five. I think four is a lot. I think they're a light blue blood.
Because I was going to say, if we're going to define blue blood as both programs, then there's a whole new list of blue bloods.
Oh, boy.
But if we're just talking about men's basketball.
You got this guy riled up now. Hey, before we break, Marco found this funny clip that we're going to play from the Kelsey podcast, New Heights. And so, you know how they have the owners' meetings and everything, and they have the annual coaches' group photo, like class photo, and Andy Reid always has a nice Hawaiian shirt on?
Yes, I do know.
And so, apparently, they have the picture there, and they attempted to find out how many head coaches Travis Kelce could name just by looking at them. And I'm just, okay, so if I gave you just this class photo, do you think you could name them all?
No.
Right. Okay. Because so it ain't easy. I couldn't either.
I've been standing on the soapbox the last 3 years saying it's the worst group of coaches on average in NFL history, and it kind of continues on with a lot of no names. Like, why are you the head coach?
Right. I think I'd have trouble. But here, let's see how Travis Kelce did with this exercise.
We show players this picture, and they have to name each coach in this picture. Let's give it a Travis Kelce try right now.
I'm the worst with names, but I can tell you team.
Starting on the left.
Chargers, Giants.
Yep.
San Fran, the fuck is that guy?
No chance you're getting this one. 0% chance.
No clue. Jets. After Jets, nothing. I've never seen that man in my life.
Oh, this is so good.
I mean, three in a row. I have no idea who those dudes are.
That was our offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen, for the Colts. Come on, Travis.
So who's next to Dougie P? Who the
f- you should is know that? That one. You should definitely
D'Amico,
know that one.
I know
one.
D'Amico. Who's the other one?
You should know him because he's arguably your biggest rival.
Oh, that is. Yeah, that's Cincy. He's a dog.
Start with Matt Foley.
Matt Foley. Again, never seen this fucking guy in my life.
It's my defensive coordinator.
Miami. God damn it. There's no way that guy coaches in the NFL, man. Then Pete Carroll, Harbaugh, obviously, you know, the next Rivera, Broncos Country, Let's Ride, Gordon Bombay. We got the Packers, and then no clue. And then Bills.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know how much better I could do.
Here's the picture that he was referencing. The best part, he didn't know Zach Taylor was the head coach of Cincinnati, the guy that they played in the AFC Championship game the past few years.
Talking about the Chiefs being elite. Like, we don't, no one's in our league.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Bengals? Who's that?
You don't think the Bengals fans are pissed? He doesn't even know who our head coach is.
That's great.
That was fantastic. I mean, I don't know.
There are so many no names. I mean, if you go back in history and look down the coaches, there are so many good coaches around the NFL. Now you got all these. How about trying this guy? How about trying that guy?
How about those two sitting next to each other? That's a nice little.
Wow. Bill Belichick looks skinny.
Bill Belichick and Andy Reid sitting together. A lot of wins right there, fellas.
Next to Harbaugh.
They both look so happy to be in that picture.
Did they just decide, did they say the best coaches in the middle front? Did they do that?
They get to sit.
It doesn't look random.
I'm going to guess they get to sit where they want. Like, we're sitting here, gathering around us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the other guy, I kind of like Dable with the sunglasses and the swag. They said, by the way, when the gathering this happened, he was the first one to crack open a beer, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Which you got to have a little. I feel like Dable's our kind of guy.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'm slightly taller than him. But I saw him at the 101
Award.
He is not a tall man.
So. Who's that?
Brian Dable.
Yeah, and the Chargers coach right next to him.
Yep.
Little dude.
Yeah, so I thought
that
I
like
was
I've never seen that guy before.
Yeah.
Who's this?
I don't know who the hell that is. He had three in a row where he didn't
know. But missing the Bengals coach is just the great lack of respect. When you're the Chiefs, who do you care about? Belichick, maybe? Tomlin? Pete Carroll, he knew his name.
Yeah.
So, well, that's excellent.
Called Mike McCarthy Matt Foles.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Thing is when he saw McCarthy, he probably said Green Bay. He didn't probably say Dallas. You know, we didn't track along with him on the picture.
Right.
When he got to McCarthy, did he say Green Bay?
Did he?
No, I'm just saying. He never said Dallas, did he?
Right. I don't think so.
That'd be funny if he had him at the wrong team.
Yeah. I think he was confused. He was confused as I was looking at that. So,
well, football is game on as well, right, with these quarterbacks. What in the heck's going on? Do we have another couple hours?
Sure.
Sorry, what was that?
You know, I said, do we have another couple hours? Because when we start talking about football, and like, how about this Anthony Richardson at Florida, who we never spoke his name unless they're playing Mizzou, maybe.
Right.
For the whole year, and now people are starting to have him go up and up and up the draft board. How everyone gets enamored with the workouts and
physical specimen.
Yeah. And I just thought, well, I got to give them this respect because I thought of Nate. If what happens if he or Josh Allen, just an unbelievable talent that over a couple years will make unbelievable improvement, and he could be such a factor, like, look at this guy. You hit him, he gets back up. He runs, he throws, he does everything. You've got to give him a little bit of respect. But generally, my attitude is, if you don't go out and win games and play great at quarterback in college, how do they get projected that they're going to turn it on and be dominant in the pros? We are so lucky for so many reasons to have Patrick Mahomes, who's legitimate. Oh, by the way, everyone's criticizing his contract now. I told you it was one of the greatest contracts written ever, that he had $500 million on his contract. But the flexibility that they had, the ability to move around and have cap space, it was so good for the Chiefs and so good for Mahomes. These other teams are worrying about quarterbacks that aren't worth nearly as much as Mahomes, who won't have a team-friendly contract, who are doing dumb stuff. Then you're moving these guys up who weren't even good in college and say, maybe they ought to be the third pick in the draft. Would you like to be the team drafting these guys? Oh, we just got Will Levis from Kentucky.
See, that's just,
oh, by the way, he didn't do anything in college.
Who I was going to bring up, because I watched that Mizzou-Kentucky game was one of the most frustrating losses of recent memory that Mizzou had, because they should have beat Kentucky. But I'm watching that game, and like for the majority of the game, like, this guy can't be a first-round pick. This guy can't be a first-round pick. But then
Mitch Trubisky is who these guys are.
Right, but then like, oh, NFL throw. Oh, NFL, but you know what I mean? But
yeah.
It's like, but so now, but
NFL
have you seen,
read.
But have you seen the debate about Will Levis now? People are arguing whether or not he's too jacked to be a quarterback. Are quarterbacks supposed to look like that?
No.
Is that like a legitimate, because like, look at him, because like,
good luck.
People
with
are asking,
the
is Will Levis too jacked to be an NFL quarterback? I don't know why I like that debate.
I just feel so sorry for those teams who are going to be drafting these guys three rounds ahead of where they should be.
Yeah. What do you think of this, Nate?
I just, I'm trying to imagine a scenario where I would ever want to stand in front of a mirror with a cell phone and take a picture of myself.
If
that
you looked
is the part,
like that, maybe, perhaps. Maybe.
You can find somebody to take a picture of you with your shirt off sometimes, can't you? I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it. But to your point, Stan, I think there is a boy. We need another hour.
I'm just sorry because he just had his pro day.
Yeah,
and he's going,
you know what it
up
is.
Say
the
your
chart.
Piece. Say your piece.
It comes down to the arrogance of these coaches that nobody knows. I can take those physical tools and teach him how to be a great quarterback, and maybe every once in a while you can. I don't think Patrick Mahomes quite becomes the quarterback that he is if he doesn't land with Andy Reid. But you know what? How many of those coaches that Travis Kelce can't name are Andy Reid? But they think they are, you know? And they think, well, we get this athlete in here. We can turn him. Because we can't find those athletic tools. I can give him all the other stuff. And I think that what you're saying is more accurate, which is, does he have the brains? Does he have the heart?
accuracy,
the mentality,
accuracy in games.
Yeah, the technical ability to actually put the ball where it belongs with the right amount of velocity on it, the feel for how much air to put under a ball when you throw it, all those different things. You know, I don't think that it's as easy as a coach just being able to give that to a guy that's got great athleticism.
If you just put that picture up next to Tom Brady's draft picture, okay? Don't tell me what their body type is.
If you want to hang out and talk football, we got no one in the 8 o'clock hour. The first half of the 8 o'clock, open invitation. But I just want to let you know what goes on while we're trying to talk to you. I just look at Twitter, and someone, a fine listener named Dustin, said, listening to Nate Buchady explain why a school that's won twice as many titles in the same time frame is not a blue blood is laughable. Nate responds, I said they were. How many titles has your school won? See, that's Nate, the Twitter guy, right? And
are you tweeting while we're talking?
Oh, yeah. And then Dustin's response, 4 less than UConn.
And I liked it. And I liked it. I liked his tweet.
Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary.
Good morning. How happy are you that it's Friday?
I'm extremely happy that it's Friday. Trust me on that one, brother.
I'm feeling it today because I went to a surprise party last night. Happy birthday to Kevin Holmes, KSHB.
Oh, wow. Kevin Holmes, great guy. Did you get hammered?
I had a couple, but, you know.
What did you have? A couple of what? What'd you have?
A couple.
Martinis?
One martini, two martini, three martini floor.
Is that
right,
all
Gary?
You drank, yeah. Martinis? You're deep, you have wine?
I didn't get the three martini floor, Nate. Mm-hmm. I didn't get there.
That's good. Kevin Holmes has the best sneaker collection, I think, of anybody I know personally.
Yep, he does.
Are you, is there like some kind of crazy weather happening today, by the way?
Yeah, it's off to the east. There's a few thunderstorms right now strengthening south of Kansas City at this moment. The risk of significant severe weather and possible tornadoes is from around St. Louis eastward, maybe central Missouri eastward. The thunderstorms that are forming now to our southwest are going to track most likely from around Lee's Summit to Paola southward, maybe clipping the Kansas City area. But more likely just to the south and east. And then it'll blow through. It's going to be windy. Windy today. And we're expecting a high of 77 degrees. How about that? And by the way, can we do a check on what yesterday's high temperature was?
Do whatever you want.
On the hour, it was 68 three different times.
Yeah.
And then it went right over 69 to 70. It hit 70.
I knew it.
Yeah. You knew it?
Yeah.
You knew I'd miss by 1 degree?
No, I just, you know, because the Royals, it just wasn't in the cards. The Royals lost 2 hits. That's why I knew it.
Right. Oh, that's right. You know, they lost 2-0. Yeah. Nate was mocking me all week, though.
Right.
Are you really sticking with that? You really sticking with that? Because, you know, I know Nate was seeing other forecasts that weren't even close to 69 degrees, but we got within 1 degree. So, Nate, what do you think?
Well, I think, I was at a restaurant yesterday, and the waitress said, would you like to hear today's special? And I said, yes, please. And she said, okay, today is special.
Jesus.
Is that your dad joke?
Yep. I snuck that one in for you. Wow. Boo! Ah, oh, come on.
No.
You always speak to me in dad jokes. That's all you do. You're just like, hi, Gary. Here's
That's my love language toward you.
Oh.
Okay. Now, if you know the answer, Nate, don't interrupt.
Okay.
Don't give it away.
All right.
I'll get in on this, all right? Okay?
Oh, boy.
Did you see, Gary, that the Royals aren't going to be selling beer this year?
No.
You know why?
Why?
They lost the opener.
Stan laughed at that one. Stan liked that one.
Marco's clapping. That's my. Yeah.
So that is really, that is like really, really good.
You go use that one with your friends. Tell that one to Kevin Holmes later.
Right? You can use it today. You probably can't use it after today.
Right.
Get your money's worth today.
Yeah, that's right.
That one. Yeah, I'm going to use that. Send it to me because I might forget it because, you know, I'm recovering from yesterday. So right now it is 65 degrees, south wind at 15, gusting to 24 miles per hour. The dew point is 61. It's the first humid morning. The moisture is leading to those thunderstorms. Concern is off to the east today. Next week there's a risk of severe weather. We'll watch as well. And I hope you guys all have a fantastic Friday. Next Friday is Good Friday.
All right.
Thought about it.
Well, yeah. Thank you. We'll make this one a good Friday too.
Yeah, you have a good Friday. Have a great day, everybody.
That's
Good Friday's next weekend.
That's Gary Lezak. We'll be right back after this on WHB.